How often do we do that? We forget. We forget what we have to be thankful for. We don't just forget, we don't even think about it. And it becomes a common place for us that we don't have a thankful heart. Our hearts become hard and they become non-thankful hearts, non-grateful. We don't give thanks to God like we should because we don't realize what we actually have to give thanks for. Let's pray. Lord God, as we gather here this morning, I ask, Father God, that you will speak to us, that you will move in our hearts and our minds. Lord, give us clarity. Allow us to be people with thankful hearts. Allow us to be known as a people that don't take everything for granted, but Lord, that we are grateful and thankful and appreciative of you and what you've done and all the amazing blessings you've bestowed upon us. In the name of Jesus, amen. So I think far too often we take so much for granted and we don't even think about the things in which we have. When was the last time you actually thought about some of that stuff you saw in that video clip? The fact that you can actually move a finger or an arm or your lips, that's a pretty big deal. There's some passages that I'm going to share from the scriptures. And this particular passage is one that comes from, I'm going to be bouncing around a little bit, but I could actually speak on this passage the entire sermon. All right? This comes from Colossians 3, 12 through 16. Therefore, as God's chosen people, all right, you heard that? I can stop right there and I can preach the whole rest of the sermon on that. All right? There's a passage in 1 Peter. And it says, you are God's chosen people, a royal priesthood, a people belonging to God. That's 1 Peter 2. Do you know that about yourself? If you are in Christ, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a people belonging to God. One amen. Everybody's like, okay, whatever you say, man. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion. When was the last time you thought about clothing yourself with compassion? It basically means put it all on. Put everything on. Clothe yourself. May compassion be clothed upon you. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Clothe yourself with those. If we clothed ourselves with those very things, would you agree that our lives would be completely different than where we find ourselves now? And then how about this one? This is probably one of the most difficult. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any one of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave. Do you know why the scriptures say that? A lot of times it's not as much for the person that we need to forgive as it is for ourselves. Do you know that there can be great stress from being not allowing ourselves to forgive somebody else? That can cause a burden and a heaviness on us because that other person may not even have a clue that they need to be forgiven. Do you understand what I mean? And that may have happened to you in your life one time or another, probably more than one time, that someone hurt you, pained you, grieved you, did something to you that was really difficult to handle. And it grieved you in such a way that you didn't know how you could ever forgive. But the time in which you forgave, there was a sense of freedom and release. And I think some of us hold on to our unforgiveness, and it begins to burden us. And not only burden us, it begins to bond us to whatever that is. And we're in bondage and captivity and enslavement to non-forgiveness. But when we discover forgiveness, we discover what the scriptures talk about, freedom. Sometimes we have to forgive ourselves because Christ already forgave you. Do you know that? That can be hard. I'm never good enough. I'm never going to be good enough. But God says you're good enough because his grace is sufficient for all of us. Wow, that's pretty cool. I like that. So Colossians, this is 3:14 through 16. And over all these virtues, put on love. You heard that? So all those other virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace. And be thankful. You heard that? It doesn't say, try to be thankful, and be thankful. Be thankful. Like, live being thankful. Live our lives being thankful people. So be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. When was the last time you did that? It may have been a couple minutes ago, right? I hope so. So we're to admonish each other with wisdom, right? There's this significance about wisdom in the scriptures all over the place. Something we should desire most is wisdom when we're praying for things. Lord, give me wisdom. Give me clarity. Lord, allow me to be a person after your heart. May I truly discover who you are more deeply, and may I have a thankful heart and honor you with my life. God, pour out your Spirit. Allow me to admonish other people with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God. Lord, may I sing to you, what does it say? With gratitude in our hearts, right? So we can actually turn this into our own personal prayer, can't we? Have you ever tried to do that? Have you ever taken a scripture passage and you looked at that passage and you took it and you tried to pray through that? You may have never done that. You may never really open the Bible up. But I challenge you in that way to open the Bible up. Like this particular passage, maybe you need to write that down so you can go back home and pray through this passage of Scripture. Because when we start praying Scripture, it starts reshaping our prayer life. I know a lot of people that say, I can't pray. I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to say. Start praying Scripture. And then God will show you how to pray. He'll reveal things to you through your prayer life. And the Word will speak volumes to you. I know it does to me. There's this other passage in Hebrews. Hebrews 12, 27 to 29. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken. This passage is talking about what is shaken and non-shaken. And then it's saying, once more. So once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken. That is created things. So that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably. I can't even speak. With reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. So, acceptably, I can't speak. Help me out here. Acceptably. Something's wrong with my tongue right now. That's weird. I'm skipping that word. I don't know what happened. Thanks for the help, though. Appreciate that. Yeah. So let us be thankful. There's another let us be thankful. We need to be thankful. Not just think thankfully, but be thankful. It's a whole lifestyle shift. I think us New Englanders, I think we have a tendency to focus on negative rather than positive. What the life focus becomes is the negative things rather than the thankful things and the grateful things and the positive things and those elements in which are beautiful in our lives, because we focus on the things that are difficult and struggle and hard and dark instead of the things that are beautiful and light and giving light. So when we focus on the negative, we can't discover the beauty in the positive. God has amazing, incredible things for us that we can be thankful and praise him for, but the issue that we often have is our focus becomes negative, and when it becomes negative, then our mind starts thinking negatively, and then our heart feels the negative vibes, and then we start living out things negatively. And our lifestyle begins to reflect the way we think and act, and our life becomes dark. It becomes corrupt. And we can't see the beauty and life and joy and hope because we've been so focused on the negativity. I don't know why us New Englanders have a tendency to do that. And maybe you don't. Maybe you are the most optimistic, beautiful, incredible, amazing person that you don't ever think of negative things. That's fantastic. Well done. But if you do have that tendency, then what we need to do with that is we need to submit that to God. And we need to say, God, you know what? I am a hyper-negative person. And I ask, God, that you will release me from that negativity so I can become an optimist. That's just not the word optimist, but somebody that is optimistically focused on you and your ways and your beauty and the joy and hope that you have. Because what it does in me, it begins to transform me. And God, I want that. Don't you want that? Don't you want to not focus on all that negative garbage that hinders you from doing what God would have you do with your life? Like to live out a beautiful, God-centered, Christ-centered life that would bring abundant joy and hope, not only to the world, but to you as a human. God doesn't want us to live in pain and sorrow and anguish, but a lot of us do. A lot of us do. Do you think your perfect heavenly Father, I'm not talking your earthly dad, your perfect heavenly Father wants you living in a place of despair and anguish? Some of you may argue, well, look at some of the prophets. They sure did live like that in many ways. Jeremiah was called a weeping prophet. Kobe, what are you talking about? I don't know if it's true. I don't know if humans can live like that. Because some of these prophets went through horrible stuff. And maybe I'm supposed to. Wait. Do you believe that your perfect heavenly Father wants you to live a life of pain, anguish, and negativity? Five of you don't think so. I want to tell you that your heavenly Father, who is perfect and holy, guess what? He doesn't want that for you. All the negative things that you think of, that you do, the way you live, he wants you to discover the purity and the joy and that refiner, that consuming fire, that refiner's fire that can burn away all the junk and all the debris and all the grief and despair. You may say, you know what? I've tried that. I don't think God listens to me. Look at your life, do a reality check, and say, all right, maybe I can't see God in the midst of all this because I'm so focused on the junk. Maybe I'm so caught up in this sin that I'm dealing with that I can't set myself free from the bondage and captivity of that sin. I'm going to tell you, when you break free from that sin or that despair or that junk, God is going to allow his Spirit to infuse you, and you're going to discover this hope and this joy that you may have never, ever felt. And you may say, I've been in Christ since I was 6 years old, and I've never really sensed that. So I don't know if that's real. Take out the microscope and examine yourself. I think you're going to find yourself wanting. I remember being in biology class, and we had these microscopes, and I thought it was so cool looking in there and seeing the paramecium and all the other stuff that you could see under the microscopes, these tiny, tiny cells, and they're all moving around and doing funky things. But there was a 10 times notch, and then you move it to 40 times, and then 100 times. So it's magnifying more and more and more and more. And I think the closer we get to God, the more we realize our sin is real and wicked and horrible. But then we also, at the same time, we realize how much more the grace is. We shouldn't sin more so grace will abound more, but what we should do is we should embrace the grace. No, you didn't hear that. We should embrace grace. Because when God's grace is poured out and we realize it in our lives, we can live totally different. God is a consuming fire. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him. Did you hear that? Just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord. Some of you have received Christ Jesus as Lord. I think a number of you have legitimately received Christ Jesus as Lord. Continue to live your lives in Him. Rooted. Okay, he takes a tree as an example. Let's take an oak tree. Rooted. Deep, deep roots, right? There's these deep, deep roots that are in the ground. And so rooted and built up in him, strengthened. Now, a tree can't survive without being built up with nutrients and this the weather, rain, and it just can't. If there's no rain, it can't be built up. If there's not abundant soil and nutrients in that soil, it's not going to grow proper. But if it has that, the roots grow deep and they grow long and they grow wide. Now, the Greek word for roots is rhiza. R-H-I-Z-A. So how deep are your rhizas? What's your rhiza doing? Is your root getting deep? Are you getting deep or are you shallow? And then when the next wind comes, you're blown over. How deep are your roots? Continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophies, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. Did you hear that? There are some people that would like to deceive you. Now, that's not thinking negative. It's the truth. There are people that want to deceive you and me, and you got to be on your guard just as I got to be on my guard. So when we, like, in this gathering here, when we gather, if you hear somebody up here, namely me right now, if you hear untruth, you should call me out on it. Have you ever been somewhere and someone was speaking and it just ruined you? You were like, oh, this is terrible. This is awful. This is false teaching. This isn't right. That's the Spirit convicting you and saying, hey, listen, that's false. You don't want to listen to that. Block your ears. Do something. Who just plugged their ears up? Just kidding. So this passage, now we're going to the Old Testament. We're going to go back a little bit in 1 Chronicles. And in 1 Chronicles it says, since we were talking about roots, I thought we'd talk about some trees. And this actually, in 1 Chronicles, it's actually a psalm that's written in 1 Chronicles. And they may have vocalized this psalm. I don't really know for certain, but it seems like it. If you read the whole thing, you'll see that it seems like it could have been song lyrics. And let the trees of the forest sing. Let them sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Cry out, save us, God, our Savior. Gather us and deliver us from the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Scholars argue about when this was actually written, but it may have been written during the captivity in Babylon. And this prayer and this call out, Lord, Lord, set us free, you know, bring us back. They want to come back from captivity. Whatever it is, they're a captive somewhere. And they're asking to be brought back. And as this was written, it's written in such a way that the vitality and of giving thanks is critical. And the writer knows that giving thanks to the Lord, for he is good, because his love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of hosts, his love endures forever. There's other psalms that actually talk about this. And their passage says, his love endures forever. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is true. His love endures forever. Now, God is someone that is worthy of thanks. When was the last time you sat and you kind of adored and gave thanks and gave praise to God? Like just in your quiet time, all by yourself. You just raise up your hands. You remember I told you last week that when you raise your hands up, it's this act of surrender. So if you ever see someone raising their hands up in church, some people get freaked out by it. But when you raise your hands up, it's just you're saying, all right, God, here I am. Yeah, it's me. I'm kind of messed up, but I give myself to you, God. Here I am. If you've never done that, try to do that in your quiet time with God. When you're listening to some music and you're worshiping God, raise your hands up. It says in the scriptures, raise up holy hands. You may say, well, my hands aren't holy. That's why I don't raise them. Are you trying to say you're holy? Because you're not holy either. Right? We're pursuing holiness, though, in this life. All right, I'm going to close with a couple passages from Psalm 106. And Psalm 106 is pretty long, but I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to do the first two verses and the last two verses. And look at what they say. Praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Oh, here it is again. What does it say, everybody? Right? Let's read this all together. Praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Who can proclaim the mighty acts of the Lord or fully declare his praise? Blessed. Yeah. So blessed are those who act justly and always do what is right. How many of you can say, that's me, brother? Right? Did you raise your hand? No. You're just waving, yeah. So, blessed are those who act justly, who always do what is right. All right. Blessed are those who act justly. We can live justly, and we can start doing what is right through the power of Christ in us. And some of you may really wrestle with that. I hear a lot of people making excuses all the time, saying, oh, I'm not perfect, I'm not perfect, I'm not perfect. Right, you're not. But Christ can lead you toward holiness and toward righteousness and toward repentance. And that in turn will allow you to act justly and to live rightly. Have you ever thought of that? Instead of going, I'm just sinful. YOLO. Sinful guy here. You only live once. I got to go do this and that. And then I'll just ask for forgiveness. I've heard a lot of people say that. Well, I can do this and that. And then I'll ask for forgiveness. I'll be good to go. God knows our hearts, right? You know, I can repent later. The last series we did was called what? No one remembers. That was really impactful, wasn't it? It's real simple. The end. The end, right? So we talked about the end times and what that would look like. And God can refine us in such a way that we can act justly and live rightly. Do you believe that? Psalm 106, 46 through 48. He caused all who held them captive to show them mercy. Save us, Lord, our God, and gather us from the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Let all the people say,
amen.
Hi, some of you caught up with that one. Let all the people say,
amen.
Praise the Lord. Do you know this last section, verse 48? Praise be to the Lord. Let's read that last section together, because guess what? That's called a doxology. Ready? Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Let all the people say, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen means may it be so. So may it be so. May we actually give thanks to the Lord. Give praise to the Lord. Praise be to the Lord. May we praise the Lord. May we give thanks to the Lord. May we give thanks for all the amazing blessings in our lives. I dare you. Are you ready? I triple dog dare you to spend an entire day giving thanks to God. Everything you're doing, whatever you're doing that day, just give thanks to God for whatever it is. Lord, thank you for paper. Thank you for a pen. Thank you for a computer. Lord, thank you for the tree. Thank you for the bird in the tree. Thank you for the ground. Thank you for feet to walk. Thank you for shoes to wear. Thank you for my pants. Thank you for my shirt. Thank you for, right? How many things, and add up how many things you gave thanks to God for that day. If you think about it, that day, maybe you start it today. Just start giving thanks to God for whatever it is he lays on your heart. Do you think it will shift your day a little bit? Thanks for a husband, even though he drives me nuts. Right? I think Stacy might say that sometimes. That's my wife, in case you're wondering. It could happen. So, have a thankful mindset as you move forward this day. And truly be somebody that gives thanks in all circumstances. You think you can follow through with that one? Giving thanks? You can try. Yeah, might take a little time. But God desires us to be people that give thanks. Period. Let's pray. Father God, what a blessing and a privilege it is to be connecting with brothers and sisters in the faith. And Lord, I ask God that your Spirit will move powerfully and mightily in our midst, God, so we can discover you more deeply in our lives through giving thanks in all circumstances, God. Lord, for your scriptures are clear that we are to praise you and give thanks to you and to glorify you with our lives. And God, I just ask, God, that we will have a mindset of thanksgiving, and may we have thankful hearts, Lord. Lord, you desire us to have thankful hearts. And Father, as we pursue you more this week and focus on being thankful, I ask, Lord, that your Spirit will move in our hearts, in our minds. Bring purity to our hearts and minds, God, so we can more wholeheartedly seek after your face, not just your hand, God, but your face, so we can see you, Lord, and so we can understand you more deeply. God, refine us in such a way, God, that all the junk and all the garbage and all the debris and all the stuff from our past that hinders us from moving on and living in the power of forgiveness and love and mercy and hope and joy and peace, God, allow us to discover the power of thankfulness in the midst of all circumstances. In the name of our Lord and our God and our Savior, all God's people say, amen. Amen.